Auburn recruiting energy is off the charts. What's up, everyone? Welcome into the Barn Social Hour. My name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean, and it's the Friday edition of the Barn Social Hour. Let's go. We hope you're having a good day so far. Can't wait for the weekend. But Graham, let's hop right into it. We have a story that is really funny, honestly. We have two recruits that are... do what?
It's an exciting story.
It's a very exciting story. I'll kind of hand it off to you and let you kind of lead the way on this. It made me laugh whenever this got brought to our attention.
Yeah, so... This got brought to our attention about two days ago. Mm-hmm. And basically, so if everyone can, let's go back in time, just about two weeks ago, Auburn gets the commitment of 4-star running back Mason Johnson Cook. Everyone, was predicting him to go to Miami, all this stuff. And then he ultimately chose Auburn in the very end after, a surprise visit to the Plains right before his commitment. Mm-hmm. So that kind of changed the tides a little bit. So super exciting there. We got Mason Johnson Cook and then another name that we've been talked about. And we talked about recently on the podcast, 5-star DB, Joshua Dobson, a guy that Auburn's been after really hard. Someone that I know really likes Auburn, Auburn's in his top, a couple schools, but it's still unclear where he's going to end up. I hope it's at Auburn and I really hope this staff really recruits him hard still, But we talked about it a couple of days ago, and I kind of we even put a picture of it on the screen because we were talking about Fong bombs, how that was, a thing, and that they're real. And so Joshua Dobson the other day got a Fong bomb to go to Texas A&M, and basically, like I said, if you don't know what a Fong bomb is, it's when someone who's considered an expert in recruiting. Makes a prediction saying, and his name is Stephen Wiltfong. He makes a prediction about where he thinks a kid is going to go end up at school. And he's made him pass for all these big, big names. I mean, he made him one for Naeem Offer to come to Auburn. That didn't happen. I think at one point he made one for Deuce Knight to flip from Notre Dame to Auburn. So he does it just for big, big time recruits. And he predicts where they're going to end up. And he kind of at the bottom left, there's always like a confidence meter of like, this is how much I think this is going to happen.
Okay.
So he made one for Joshua Dobson to go to Texas A&M, and his confidence was at 60%, whatever. I had the graphic, I deleted it. I didn't think I'd use it again, but here we are. Yeah,
it's fine.
So there's another Auburn page out there that, Instagram has this new thing where you can have like a channel where like, it's basically a DM. And they can send like an account can just send you like information and like a channel type thing where it's like they can just send DMs and stuff like that. And
there's like a massive, it's like a massive like group thread. Like you could subscribe to the DM channel and you get it every day.
You don't get to respond back. It's just them sending you stuff.
Right.
So like they'll send you Auburn information, stuff like that. Anyway, so what I'm about to pull up on the screen is a situation that happened with that whole Fong bomb situation and how it connects to Auburn. For those watching, you can read it along with me, but for those listening, I will read it out loud for you. So it says, 5-star cornerback Joshua Dobson recently received a Fong bomb to Texas A&M. We knew this. Mm-hmm. And Joshua replied in the comments with, quote, wow. I'm assuming to me that means that he's like, that's interesting. I haven't told anyone that, or that hasn't really been my vibe of I don't feel like I'm going there.
Yeah. Like, hey bro, what the Fong, what are you doing?
So in the comments of this Fong bomb, Auburn's Mason Johnson Cook said, quote, slide. And if you don't know what that means, that just means like, hey, come to Auburn. Like, pull up over here. Like, come, let's work over here. So when Mason Johnson Cook did this, and let's keep in mind, Mason Johnson Cook has been very active in, this world trying to recruit players to come to Auburn. So anyway, Joshua Dobson then comes back and replies with an eagle emoji. And everyone knows that's like the emoji Auburn fans use like crazy when it comes to the school.
It's my most used emoji on my phone.
Really? Mine's a laughing emoji. Anyway, really? So Meissen Johnson Cook, this is what the rest of the post says. Meissen Johnson Cook has been putting in real work behind the scenes, commenting on recruits' graphics and trying to bring them to Auburn. Thoughts, comments, questions?
I like it because it shows that, and it goes back to Golish and the people that are currently there, Durkin included, because to me, Durkin was kind of like the, you know, the small seed in this, you know, positivity that we got going on right now in the, you know, in the football program. Golish just kind of excels it to the point of like, it's off the charts, like I was saying at the top of the show. But this just has to do with the culture change that we have talked about so many times on the show. You have recruits who are coming in who have not played a game in Jordan Hare yet, and they're already acting like they've been there for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years already. The energy is way better than it has been in the past 5 years. I like to see this. I want to see more of this. I think this is not the last time we'll see an exchange like this. And I really hope that other players follow suit as well. Even ones that are there currently that are on their last year of eligibility being like, hey, we're going to lay the foundation, come build this back type of, you know what I mean? And I think that's what you're going to see actively throughout, hopefully throughout the season and in the future, because Golish and the standard that he has set in this football program to me is way better than what we've had, even like with Gus. I love Gus, but it was like one of those things where it's like, okay, we got our guys, let's go. That's it. You know what I mean? We weren't having like these exchanges. And obviously it's has to do with as time progresses, as we progress with technology, social media, no matter what you think about it, even though I think it's, you know, it's part of the reason why a lot of people are having issues nowadays, it can be used in a positive light in this situation of sports being college football, being Auburn football. You have a guy who just committed to us, who is basically like GMing people, being like, hey, like, come to Auburn. Like, he's actively being a recruiter, and he hadn't even touched a ball yet in Jordan Hare. I love that. I absolutely love it. I think, like I said, if we can keep this momentum up in the future, I like the direction this football program's going. I really do. I really think that, especially with somebody like him being a recruit, will set the standard for other recruits to come in and follow suit, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? So I'm really excited to see that, and it honestly puts a smile on my face. It really does. So
yeah, I love it too. I mean, I think it's super important to have recruits buy in, and like, it just, it's so rare, you know, in this day and age of like, if you get a recruit this early on in the season, by the time December comes around when it's signing day, like, who knows if he's even going to sign with you? It just, it changes so much and so frequently.
It does.
And so to see someone like, be like, hey, like I'm going to get as many people as I can to come to Auburn. And like, this is where I'm going to be. This is where I want to be. Like, let's get this thing rolling. Let's try to get the best talent we can. And also like, and I want to bring up like, if you haven't watched Landing on the Plains with Chandler Wooten, another show we have here on the barn, please go watch it. It's really awesome. Yeah. But he's had, you know, last couple episodes, he's had former Auburn players show up. And then he had an episode a little bit ago, so kind of talking about where everything went wrong with the teams that they had. And he said the main thing was buy-in. He said there was a massive divide on the team, and guys were just not buying in. And there, you know, you had a group of guys that were bought in and a group of guys that weren't bought in, and it just caused a massive divide. And so having guys like this, in my eyes, it's kind of a signal saying like, hey, this guy's bought in already. Where he's still, what, 6 months out from signing day, and he's already bought in to what Golish is believing in. And he believes in it so much, and he's bought in so much. He's like, look, I want other guys to come buy in with me. Like, I want to bring the best talent possible, and let's all buy in together and show that we can do something, and we can bring Auburn back to what it can be, because Auburn can be there. Auburn has been there.
Yeah.
It takes us. At the end of the day, it takes the players, you know? Yeah, a coach is super important, but at the end of the day, it's up to the players. The players, though, and Chandler kind of talked about this, and he had Papo on his episode yesterday, but the players are the ones playing between the white lines. The players are doing the actual game on the field. Mm-hmm. Coach can only do so much to win a game. At the end of the day, it comes down to the players to execute, to make the plays, and to win the game. Right. Yeah, the coach can help put you in a better position to do that. But at the end of the day, it is completely up to the players to dominate and win between the lines. And having guys like this, I think, is a super encouraging sign for Auburn and hopefully bringing guys that are going to be bought into this program.
Yeah, no, I agree with your points 100%. And two, I wanted to point this out. Have you noticed, and this just might be me, and I could be completely off on this, but have you noticed that these recruits that we're getting reflect Golish's energy almost to the exact T? Like, to me, that's it's like he's going after guys that he looks in the mirror and it's like, yeah, this guy has my type of personality when it comes to energy I want to see in my football program. Let's go get him. And this is just example number one of hopefully many down the road. And I really like to see that. And it's, all smiles here on this side. It's really cool to see. But you know what else puts a smile on my face? When you go to AUShirts.com and get all your gear from all your favorite shows from the barn, you see the shirts, hoodies, and hat on your screen. We have an official mock-up of the Social Hour shirt. We will. It looks really good. We will reveal that soon. But as of right now, it's in mock-up stages, but it is in the final process of being official. So I'm excited. It was like whenever we got the mock-up or whenever I got it sent to me, it was like somebody was in my head. It was crazy to see that, honestly. But yeah, again, go to AUShirts.com to get all your gear from all the shows at the barn that you love. And if you get a shirt from AUShirts.com or a hat, hoodie, whatever, a mug, tag us, take a picture of you repping it, and we'd love to share it on the show. So again, that is AUShirts.com to get all your gear from all the shows at the barn.
Yeah, also go over to buyauburn.com and hop on the train. Hop on the family where, you know, we're making a massive index of Auburn run and own businesses all over the country. If you're an Auburn business owner, please head to buyauburn.com today to sign up and get your company on the index. And if you're just looking to support the Auburn family, this is a great place to go just to find where all the Auburn fans are and support them. There's just such a massive range of things that you can find on buyauburn.com, ranging from golden retriever training to real estate, to insurance, to restaurants, to bars, you name it, it's probably there. So, and if it's not, then hey, like, find someone that is an Auburn fan that owns that business and suggest buyauburn.com to them. And let's just keep growing this business. Let's make it massive. Let's make it, you know, the biggest thing ever. Like I said, go to buyauburn.com today to sign up now or to search the index.
Yes, sir. Grant, we moving on to the next topic. We had a baseball game yesterday. I got hung up with some stuff I had to do last night, so I wasn't able to watch it, but you watched it. And we dropped a game against Mississippi State. Mississippi State is notoriously good at baseball, but we are ranked higher than them.
Not by much. But technically in the rankings, yes, we are ranked higher than them.
Yeah, and you know, you would like to handle business with an SEC team, but we didn't. And Grim, kind of like go into like kind of what happened and, you know, moving forward, what they can do.
The pitching situation kind of got switched around last night. Marciano pitched last night instead of, I think he was supposed to originally pitch tonight, and someone else was supposed to pitch last night. I think the last night minute kind of switched that up, and Marciano pitched last night. And honestly, did not have a great game. Great start for him. I don't want to blame him for it because, and I'll explain the situation. But anyway, Auburn lost. I'm not too worried about it. Again, Auburn has won five straight SEC series. They play again tonight at 7:30, so kind of right when this ends, probably. And it's about 15 minutes from right now. They're supposed to have the first pitch. I think they're playing on SEC Network or ESPN2. Last night they're on ESPN2, which is a first. You know, it's not been recent. It's not been normal for college baseball to be on TV, especially not Auburn. but yeah, so last night just wasn't wasn't the best. In the first inning, bottom of the first, we'd gotten two outs. There's a couple guys on base, and Mississippi State hit just a ground ball to shortstop. It was nothing special, nothing crazy. It seemed like it was going to be a routine out. We'll get out of the inning. Let's go into the second. Well, I don't know what happened. I just don't. Shortstop, ball gets to shortstop, and the shortstop just, I don't know if just hesitated to throw the ball, threw it too late, didn't put enough on it. Anyway, when he threw the ball, it got to first. He did not get the out. The guy beat it to first. And was like, dang, like, you, that's.
You got to have that.
That's not what you need with two outs in a grounder to shortstop. Mm-hmm. So, two batters later, the next guy gets on base. Bases are loaded. So, this is now two batters later. They hit a grand slam. Which is the last thing you need. If you don't know what a grand slam is in baseball, it's when bases are loaded and then a home run is hit. So you get four runs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, yeah, really frustrating. In the fact that, like, you should have been out of the inning, you know, a couple pitches ago. I think Marciano threw like 30 something pitches in the first inning, which is never good. And then if I can remember, I think he was pulled after the second inning. So not great. Not a great showing. But again, we played tonight. Playing at Mississippi State is one of the hardest places to play in all of college baseball. It's the largest crowd in college baseball. They do have the biggest stadium, capacity wise. Nice. In fact, they were talking about last night. And I have a friend, good friend that goes, a couple good friends that go to Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. 25 out of the top 20. So out of the top 25 most attended college baseball games of all time, like regular season. I don't think this includes World Series. Mm-hmm. 25 of the top 25, all 25 are at Mississippi State. They've broken their record 25 times. So the top 25 most attended baseball games in college baseball history are all at the same stadium at Mississippi State. So there's a lot of people there. They love baseball. Yeah. They are a baseball school.
Yeah.
Like, everyone goes to their baseball games. So yes, it's a hard place to play. But I'm also someone that believes, I don't think, and I might get hate for this, I didn't play baseball. So if Brett, if you're watching, you can come tell me I'm wrong. But I played T-ball and that was about it. I just have a hard time feeling and believing that, like, an away environment at a baseball game makes a difference. Cause, like, it's so like even when, you know, we're batting at home, we're still like chanting and clapping, all this stuff that's still happening during the batting at home. I just don't see a world where, like, it's that much harder to play on the road in baseball. Mm-hmm. I think
it's more of a mental thing, especially if you're a pitcher and you have so many fans, like, just screaming at the top of their lungs.
Pitching, I do get pitching that.
And then, like, if it's more, you know, you got two outs and you're up to bat and you know. Potentially bases are loaded, and if you hit this, you win the game type of thing. Like, the grand slam will basically put you over the top. That's a lot of pressure when you have fans.
Yeah, but I think the pressure's there at home too. I think it's the same amount of pressure. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's just a mental game. It's at some point you have to, and this goes for all sports, you just kind of have to block out the noise and do your thing and ball out and hope for the best. That's kind of where it is right now.
That is easier than it sounds. Mm-hmm. Like not hearing crowd noise is kind of easier than it sounds. I'm not necessarily saying that for, like, an SEC football game, because, like, that's 100,000 people possibly, like, yelling at one time. So, like, yes, that's gonna be loud. But, like, when I played football in high school, and, like, our stadium wasn't huge, but I mean, it fit a couple thousand people. Like, it wasn't tiny, but it wasn't huge. And I mean, like, I remember this, like, I played offense, but, like, when we scored and stuff like that, I just, like, didn't hear the crowd. Like you get so focused on a game that, like, you just forget. Like, they're, like, you just don't even understand. Like, you don't even, it's, I can't explain it. Like, you just don't hear the crowd.
It's tunnel vision.
I know it's going to be different for an SEC environment for any sport. But I get it. It's just so funny, like, how, like, it's so easy to just, in my eyes, just tune that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm, and this isn't, you know, people are going to be like, oh my God, tennis, it doesn't, you know, tennis doesn't match up to the big three. When I played tennis in high school, whenever I would be playing a match, I would, and it's, I don't know how to explain it. It would just happen. But like about 10 to 15 minutes into the match I was in, it was like everyone just disappeared around me. And I don't know how, it was just a way that I could get my mind to like calm down, I guess. Cause I was always nervous. It didn't matter, you know, what school it was or who I was playing or what, like if it was, you know, at home at my high school, away, or, you know, at a state tournament or something like that. It's just like, it's me, the person I'm playing, and no one else. It is just, it, and I don't know. It's just one of those things that as an athlete, you have to like do, and I'm sure athletes nowadays have better ways to do it, but yeah. You know,
and then just, even like playing away games in high school football, like, like obviously like when you're playing away, like the band is playing. And,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I know in college, the band is like a type of thing where like they have to stop playing before the play. Like they have to stop playing before the snap. That's not the rule in high school. You can play as loud as you want the entire time. There is no stopping. So that kind of makes up for that crowd noise. Like I remember there was one time where we might have been playing Benjamin Russell, but like we were on the part of the field where like their cheerleaders were like right here, and then right behind them was their band. That probably was one of the most loudest experiences I've ever felt in a game. Cause like I could still hear, but like, I mean, like the cheerleaders were using their little cones and the band was just playing really loudly right behind them, like full volume. I was like, this is like, wow. Like that is loud. I still was able to like hear and like could like, it didn't affect anything, but like, it was just like, wow. I could imagine that on like a 100,000 person scale.
The cheerleaders are using their little cones.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're saying.
Screaming, and it was loud because like we were right directly in line with them. So like what they're projecting was just going straight into our ears.
Yeah, I remember being at a Auburn basketball game. You know how they like, depending on where you're sitting, the cheerleaders and the, you know, will be like right there, kind of like by the goal, almost and I remember sitting like right by them, and I was not prepared for how loud that cone is. Cause it is like, it goes in one ear and out the other. And it's just like, it just absolutely cleans you out. You're like, oh
yeah. I never understood like how it could be that loud, but it is like, it projects your voice really well. It's weird.
It's just the design. It's all science, and I don't want to have to think about that. But you know, it is easy to think about subscribing to The Barn and checking out other podcasts like the ones you're listening to now, like The Barn Social Hour. We also have the Top Button Podcast with Charlie Five, aka Kyle Rush. We also have the Village Vice Podcast with Zach Blackerby and Brad Law, and the Baseball Show with Lindsey Crosby, Brad Law, and occasionally Sonny DeShera, and Landing on the Plains with Chandler Wooten. Again, go check out that episode he dropped yesterday with Owen Papo. It was really cool to see that. Really cool, honestly, that he's on there. I was honestly like, whenever I clicked on it to watch, I was like, oh my God, Owen Papo. It's really cool
that he's getting like former players to be a part of this. It's just massive for Auburn because it brings a new insight to the fans of like what really happened in those years of Auburn football. The years that we claimed were some of the worst. And to see like the reasonings behind of everything that went down has been really interesting.
Yeah, it gives you a new perspective on everything. And even though like as a fan, like you know, you already have that thought in your mind of like, hey, this is what it was like, you know, back in the Harsin era and the Freeze era. It gives you a whole new outlook of like, hey, this is how, you know, they were seeing it, and you can kind of put the two and two together and boom, new perspective. So it's really cool. But again, if you like what you're listening to and what you're watching, please subscribe and follow wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube. Hit that like button and turn on notifications so you don't miss anything from us. We are your number one best source for everything and anything Auburn sports. And reminder to, and just in case you forgot, it's Mother's Day weekend. Don't forget, it's also my mom's birthday, so it's easy to remember.
And my mom's birthday.
Dude, we should co-host a show. Oh, wait, we are. We're already doing it.
It's weird how they're Mother's Day and both of our mom's birthday the same day.
It's just, bro, you know what I call that? Fate. That's what I call it. other than that, if you have any comments in regards to, you know, how you think recruiting is going right now, let us know in the comments down below. And other than that, I don't have anything else. Grimmy, got anything? Awesome. Well, everyone have a great weekend. Enjoy time with your mom. It's Mother's Day weekend. Do not forget. And with that being said, War Damn, we'll see you next time.
Bye. Have a great time.